May we have hearts and minds ready to respond to your word. Amen. The drains needed clearing in Clevedon. There are puddles that don't drain away because the drains haven't been cleared. It's especially bad outside proper job in the co-op and the underpass off Northern Way. Well, the children get their feet wet going to and from school. As for the road by the motorway by Aldi, it's just impossible. Something needs to be done. It should be done regularly. And why was it that we saw a drain clearing vehicle in Castle Road twice in a week and still no sign of any action down the bottom? Something needs to be done. North Somerset need to sort things out. So the complaint from Mrs. H was repeated at each of Clevedon Town Council meetings for several months in 2019 during the public participation section of the meeting. Before that, it had been Mr. M bringing concerns about overgrown footpaths and unemptied dog bins, complete with photographs. These local residents were nothing if not persistent and consistent. Despite the assurances of our town councillors that the matters would be taken up with North Somerset Council, meeting after meeting seemed to produce little in the way of progressive action. It did, however, produce great irritation in Mrs. H and Mr. M. The pitch of their voices rose, their pleas becoming more urgent, but to little avail. The residents wanted things to be put right, to be rectified, and to be in proper order, not just for the sake of it, but for the sake of everybody and to make lives for people in Clevedon better. Justice is probably too strong a word to use in these examples, but in the world today and in the news, we hear, read and see many issues that are being contended that seek justice. Climate emergency, cost of living crisis, energy supplies and costs, prices generally, wages that fall behind the rate of inflation. There's a fair element of frustration and anger and persistence out there. So whether the issue is clearing drains or cutting back of undergrowth or emptying of dog bins locally, or whether it's clearing the rubbish of our lifestyle, the cutting back on our use of fossil fuels and plastic, or whether it's providing a fair system of pay and tax to provide sufficient for everyone, we need to know what the issue is we are fighting and what we hope to achieve. We need to know how to go about fighting the battle. We need to understand why it is important and why we should persist. We need to know who we are and who we follow. So let's turn to those Bible passages we heard a moment ago. Jacob's night of wrestling came when he was preparing to meet his brother Esau, whom he had cheated out of his inheritance a number of years previously. Jacob was the younger son, you may remember. He had fled in fear for his life and had a dream in which God made a threefold promise: to be with him wherever he went, to provide for him, and to bring him back where he belonged. Jacob had gone off and found refuge and taken work in the house of Laban. He had subsequently married two of his daughters and had 11 sons. He's now negotiated his freedom from this arrangement with Laban and is on his way back to meet with Esau and make his peace with him. He sent a party on ahead with gifts of animals for Esau, and now he's got up and sent his family across the river so that he is left alone. So here he is, alone in the night, surely contemplating the daunting day ahead of him, the day when he will meet his brother again. He has laid careful plans and has set about it all with some determination. He will acknowledge his past actions before his brother and seek his forgiveness, to find favor again with Esau. And so we find him wrestling through the night with a man whom he doesn't recognize at the time. Perhaps we can identify with that scenario, this wrestling through the night before an important event in our lives, that tossing and turning both physically and mentally as our thoughts do somersaults. Jacob wrestled all night and didn't recognize the man as God, or so it seems. Can we identify with that too? And he wouldn't let the man go when the morning came. He clung on, he hung on, despite being inflicted with this hip dislocation. Yet it's as if he did know and needed to cling to him, to God, because of the ensuing encounter with Esau. After the wrestling and the blessing that he'd asked for, then Jacob knew. He knew that he had seen God face to face. Just as in his previous night of wrestling, way back when he was fleeing from Esau, he had recognized God's presence at Bethel. Jacob's persistence, his clinging on, was rewarded, for God was with him, but it left its mark in his hip problem. It left another mark of far greater significance, though. When Jacob met Esau, the encounter was one of mutual joy and reconciliation, of honoring each other. But that's for another day, and perhaps for you to read in a quiet moment or two later. For Jacob, the what was the separation and fear he had lived in, away from his brother Esau, and his need to restore good relations with him. The how was in the planning and preparation to show his repentance and desire for putting things right. The why it was so important was to live rightly with God and his brother. Persistence was important. He could have changed his mind at almost any point along the way. But wrestling and clinging to God ensured he achieved the goal. The goal that God intended for him and fulfillment of his promise to him at Bethel. Jesus told the parable about the judge and the widow, or the widow and the judge, to his disciples to tell them and us of the importance of always praying and not giving up. He didn't mean a shopping list of things we want from God that had to be repeated ad nauseam, though. But he did mean, don't become disheartened or weary of praying. Keep it up. The parable of the widow and the judge seems like a very strange story until we get under the skin of it. For a moment, set aside the descriptions we normally use of the judge, unjust, and of the widow, persistent. Tom Wright says, every legal case in Jesus' day was a matter of a judge deciding to vindicate one party or the other. Vindication or justification here means upholding their side of the story, deciding in their favor. The judge was sitting on his own to make the decision between the widow and her adversary or enemy. We're told he neither feared God nor was bothered about what anybody thought. The widow was the symbol of all that was poor and defenseless. Against the judge, the widow had only her persistence at her disposal. And she used that well, going back and forth to the judge, clinging on to her claim for vindication, for justice, for the right thing to be done. She didn't want retribution. She wanted vindication. She wanted things to be the way they should really be. The judge did not only get fed up with her nagging, but became concerned for his own well-being. The Hebrew word used suggests he was afraid of getting a black eye. We don't know if it was a real threat or his perceived fear only, but that would be pretty embarrassing for a judge, wouldn't it? A man in his position, a bit difficult to hide a black eye. And just in case you're wondering, yes, North Somerset did take action on the drains, and the dog bins appear to be emptied regularly. But back to the persistent widow. for that is how we can now describe her. She wins over this unjust judge, and that's how he can now be described. He vindicated the widow, not for justice, but to preserve his own ego and position. So as we unearth the meaning for us in it all and wonder how the persistence to get what we want seems to be not quite right, we can hear Jesus explain. If this unjust judge gives justice to the widow who keeps bothering him, then surely God will bring justice for his chosen ones who cry to him day and night. The parable, like the one about the friend coming at midnight, does not liken God to the unjust judge, but rather contrasts him to such a judge. For God is a loving father who provides the best for his children. Jesus had declared at the beginning of the story that his disciples should always pray and never give up. He concludes by asking, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faithfulness and persistence in prayer in his followers? The what, why, how, and who of it all is being prepared for judgment, not just in the future, but every single day, because God wants us to have life in all its fullness now as well as in the future. How we live matters. Seeking to go deeper with God in prayer and being rooted in his word so that we can weather the storms with him rather than against him. And there's the who. Jesus, Son of the living God, come amongst us. Who do we look to for our justice or vindication? Who do we walk with, talk with, listen to know what is right and good and true? The kingdom of God is among us in Jesus and in our lives by his Spirit. Persistence in prayer, not giving up, is necessary to know the consistency and the constancy of his love for each one of us. And somehow all that adds up to faithfulness, the faithfulness of God in Jesus, the faithfulness that you proclaim each week, each time you live and breathe the name of Jesus. Will we respond to God's faithfulness with a consistent persistence in our praying? What will we do or commit to do to become consistently more persistent in pursuit of that prayer life? How will we go about it? Why is it so important to us? Who are you trying to please? Who are we trying to please? And I would only suggest none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, in whom we have our being. Amen. And so I suggest that we remain seated as we sing Faithful One, So Unchanging, and consider our response to God's call to us to be faithful in prayer. Ageless One, you're our rock, my rock of peace. Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again.
Again and again. flag to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone. Faithful one, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble.